Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob. I'm reading today from a book entitled The Christian in Complete Armor by William Gurnall. This is volume 2 of a 3-volume set. William Gurnall was the English Bible scholar and pastor who died in 1679. We're on the fifth consideration. It's called The Christian's Spiritual Girdle, that which he wears around his midsection. It's the instructions today to the insincere or the hypocrite. Some of you have examined your consciences and found the condemnation of hypocrisy. The evidence is so clear and strong that your conscience cannot reverse its verdict. If these are the standards of sincerity, it says, then you must be a hypocrite. The counsel which I have for you, then, will lead you from bondage into freedom from insincerity. Number one, face the deadly nature of your hypocrisy. There is no hope of cure until you have diagnosed your deplorable disease as hypocrisy. Medicine cannot be swallowed by a sleeping patient, and it is the nature of this illness to make the soul heavy-eyed and numb of conscience through the flattering self-image of hypocrisy. The hypocrite goes through the motions of religious formalities which fume up from his deceived heart like pleasing vapors from the stomach to the head and bind up his spiritual senses into a kind of stupidity. And these fantasy-like dreams entertain him with vain hopes and false joys which vanish as soon as he comes to himself. The prideful Pharisees, for example, the most notorious hypocrites of their time, were so fast asleep in their carnal confidence that they were not afraid to commend themselves to the holy God. God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, or even as this publican. And thus, when Christ dealt with this proud generation, he normally, though he was very gentle, he must have sounded like thunder breaking out of the clouds. And dreadful claps of judgment fell upon them from the mouth of the sweet Savior. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! Yet how many hypocrites were awakened and converted by Jesus' sermon? There were a few, so we could not pronounce the disease incurable, but very few. So we would tremble at the thought of it growing inside of us. Peter learned how to handle the hypocrite from his master. When he spoke to Simon Magus, a man suffering from an advanced stage of the disease, his words were steeped in sharp judgment. You have neither part nor lot in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. The Father had given Peter an extraordinary spirit to discern that the man's false heart was in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. And the only thing which made him better than the damned souls in hell was that they were in the fire, and he, like a bundle of sticks tied up and ready to be burned, had not yet been thrown in. They were past hope, but he still had opportunity to repent. Another example of this maligning spiritual illness is the church of Laodicea. The Spirit of God sharply rebuked her and mentioned nothing good about the congregation because the leaven of hypocrisy had so puffed up her conceit. Everything which encourages sleep is deadly to a lazy person, and anything soothing is just as damaging to the hypocrite. Some say the surest way to cure lethargy is to turn it into a fever. And the best way to deal with a hypocrite is to jolt him from his false peace and plunge him into genuine misery. Let this be your starting point, then. See the weight of your sin, and let your soul mourn because of it. When the Old Testament priest pronounced a person a leper, the latter was to tear his clothing, go bareheaded, and put a covering on his upper lip, a ceremony used by all mourners, and to cry, "Unclean, unclean." So you too should grieve for this plague of your heart, for you are not fit to come near God or his family the way you are now. If your body had a disease so nasty that it infected the place where you sat or lay, the food you ate, and the cup you drank from, everyone would run from you and leave you alone with sorrow and pain. This is exactly what hypocrisy has done to you spiritually. It is a plague more offensive to God than any contagious disease that you could have. It causes men to pass by on the other side of the street. It oozes out like a filthy sore through all the bandages of good works that you put over it. But even if you could conceal this hypocrisy and enjoy a religious reputation until death, would it be a consolation to you in hell to know your friends were still commending your memory on earth? Someone put it this way, "Poor Aristotle, you are praised where you are not and burned where you are." Surely it is small comfort to that great heathen philosopher to be admired by scholars who have exalted his reputation from age to age if, in fact, his intellect, along with his body, lives in the agony of eternal punishment. Is it really worth it, hypocrite, for you to be ranked among saints here on earth just before you are tormented among devils in hell? Number two, realize you cannot cure your own hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is like a fistula sore. It seems like a minor eruption on the surface, but is one of the hardest wounds to heal because it is hard to find the bottom of it. Your will might promise never to lie or deceive again, but it is an easy thing to be cheated by your intentions. Proverbs 28:26, "He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool." Many people die because they are reluctant to pay the price of seeing a skilled physician while there is still time. Beware of self-resolution and self-reformation. Only God can cure sin. If you experiment with your own heart instead of seeking the help of heaven, you may mend one iniquity, but tear open two worse sins. Number three, take hypocrisy to Christ, the physician whose skill and faithfulness can make you whole. If you must die, die at his door. But for your comfort, remember that no one has ever fallen out of his healing hand, and no case has ever been too hard for him to handle. He blamed the hypocrites who were ready to trust any charlatan ministering in his own name without God's authority, but who would not confess the one who had come in the Father's name. And he who blamed hypocrites for not coming cannot be angry with you if you come. It is his calling. Christ came to be a physician to sick souls. Pharisees were so settled in their own conceit that the Savior spent his time with those who admitted they needed help. If you cannot do anything but groan under your weight of hypocrisy and send those groans in prayer to God, your healer will soon come to you. Since his ascension into heaven, Jesus has never once laid down his calling, but still practices, granting forgiveness as faithfully as ever. For example, Christ counseled Laodicea how to be loosed from her deadly disease of hypocrisy. "I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed." He warned, "Laodicea, you are deceiving yourself and others with appearances instead of realities, with counterfeit graces for true ones. Your gold is impure, and your robes are rotten rags. They do not cover your shame, but expose it. Come to me if you want real treasure." Although Christ mentioned buying, what he meant was a buyer's spirit, valuing Christ and his grace so highly that if they could be bought, a person would be willing to spend all the money in his account and even the blood in his veins for it, yet still go home saying it was a bargain. It is the thirsty soul who will be satisfied, but we must be sure our thirst is right and deep. Make sure your thirst is right is part A here. It must be a heart thirst and not merely a conscience thirst. A very different heat kindles each of these. Hellfire, for instance, may inflame the conscience and make the guilty sinner thirst for Christ's blood to quench the torment kindled in him by God's wrath. But only heaven fire begets heat in the heart, which breaks out in longings for Christ and his Spirit with sweet cooling dews of grace to put out the fires of lust and sin. B. Make sure your thirst is deep. Doctors describe a thirst which comes from a dryness of the throat and not from any great inward heat of the stomach. Such a thirst can be quenched by gargling in the mouth, a drink which is spit out and never swallowed. Truly, this is what happens in some people who hear the gospel preached. Sometimes men's spirits are touched by a spark of the gospel, which falls on their emotions and makes them suddenly profess a strong urge for Christ and his grace. Yet, because there are only tiny embers of excitement rather than deep desires, their heat is soon gone, and the thirst quenched with only a taste of Christ's sweetness. And just when they are almost home, they impulsively spit out that sermon and never enjoy Jesus again. So look hard to see your own wretched hypocrisy and Christ's fullness of grace to heal it. A man with a parched thirst cannot be satisfied with anything except a full swallow of water, no matter what it costs him. So then you must not be content with anything but Christ and his sanctifying grace, not with profession, gifts, or pardon, even pardon itself, if it could be separated from grace. No, a sprinkling of grace will not do. You must long for floods of it to purge and free you from the hypocrisy which oppresses you. This frame of spirit will shelter you under the promise, heaven's security, that you shall not lose your longing for Christ. If the desires of your heart are silver and gold, and you collect them with fervor, God may let you roar like Dives in hell, in the center of the flames which your lust kindled, without bringing one drop of water to cool your tongue. But if you want Christ and his sweet grace, if you must have them, then surely they are yours. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. It's Matthew 5:6. Next time, instructions to the sincere, to those who are not hypocrites, some instructions. Thank you for listening. I would like to hear from you. Please contact me with questions and comments at bob.j.faulkner.72@gmail.com. And before you go right now, why don't you look around the site? I believe you're going to find some other things that will be beneficial to you. Readings from great preachers, stories from the persecuted church, Bible studies, just a whole lot of things. This is the Hackberry House of Chosun, and Lord willing, we'll talk again real soon. Bye-bye.